We are reading from the writings of Rabash,
Volume 3. We are reading in the writings of Rabash, Volume 3. Unfortunately, we have no Hebrew, only the Hebrew text. Questions can be sent to Sviya Tova or Kab TV. Pertinent questions will be aired during the lesson.
Yeah,
I just want to remind you that we're reading it from the writings of Rabash. Those are writings that he never prepared for print. There were just little notes tucked in his desk inside different drawers. And after he passed, I collected all these notes and we've compiled them into this book, please.
The Articles of Rabash, Volume 3, Article 932, the first innovation. All the innovations begin only after a person merits coming out of self-reception. And this is the matter that it's not allowed to study Torah with the idol worshippers. Because when one is in Egypt, he cannot be Jew, and he is enslaved to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And while he is a servant to Pharaoh, he cannot be the creator's servant. This is the matter, for the people of Israel are mine, they're my servants, and not servants of servants. For when a person works himself, he cannot be serving the Creator. For one cannot serve two kings at once. And only after a person emerges out of Egypt, meaning out of self-reception, then he can be the servant of the Creator. And then he is capable of meriting the Torah. It turns out that the first innovation is the exodus from Egypt.
I think it's clear. What's clear? Until a person rises above his will to receive, where he has a screen, reflected light, in which he begins to equalize himself with the emanator, with the creator, to some extent, he doesn't understand what it's talking about. He's not in the spiritual world. He's not found in the sensation of the upper light, spiritual actions. He doesn't understand them. He reads what's written, but because it's written. But now that it passes through him and he understands from feeling it inside of him, meaning that Torah is not in him yet. We have to remember what's written. Look, all the innovations begin only after a person is rewarded with exiting self-love, self-reception. And this is the matter that you should not teach Torah to the nations of the world. Shouldn't means impossible. You can't. Meaning it's impossible for him to learn Torah. There's no connection with Torah. Torah is the expansion of the upper light in the vessels according to the extent to which these vessels are able to receive the upper light, meaning according to equivalence of form with it. This is the meaning of Torah. And then the upper light that expands, that pours down like water and fills those vessels that are in certain equivalence with it, of the desire, restriction, screen, intention in order to bestow. And then this structure fits the nature of the upper light also to bestow. Accordingly, we learn from his vessels, from your actions we shall know you. Similarly, we learn about the Creator's nature. How? We do not attain the Creator. We attain ourselves, how we act. And then how we discover those forms of bestowal in us, we say, this is the Creator. Boy, come and see. According to how we have made him, you have made me, as it's written. And that's how we study the Torah, meaning the laws of the expansion of the upper light inside the corrected vessels according to equivalence of form. Therefore, all of it begins only after there is restriction, screen, reflected light, which is called the exodus from Egypt. When a person rises above his will to receive and begins to work with the arvut, with the reforming light called Torah, in order to bestow. So all the innovations are only after the reception of the Torah. then he learns, studies the Torah. That's the meaning of studying the Torah. A wise student, wise disciple, where he learns from the Creator how to receive in order to bestow. Is it clear where it all starts? And before that, beasts. What are you looking at me this way, Vlad? You're crying.
No, simply we learned now in the study of Tan Sfirot, and each time Baal HaSulam came back and said, don't get confused with these corporeal definitions, because we're talking about the place that has no time or space or movement.
Yes.
So where is that point where a person really begins or needs to start to study correctly the wisdom of Kabbalah?
Only after past crossing the Mahsom. Crossing Mahsom means rising above his ego, is willing to stop using it, simply nothing. And then he's prepared to connect to the group, to immerse himself, to dissolve, to annul himself there completely, lose himself completely there. And then he receives, as a result from that, in the annulment in the group, as a drop of semen in the womb, he begins to receive the upper light, which builds him. And that's it. This is the Exodus from Egypt.
So it's like a person is here in this world and time, movement, space.
That's not even considered anything. What is this world? Whether it's 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years from now, what difference?
So you kind of put a light like this, like it doesn't exist. And
not that it doesn't exist. It belongs to the spiritual world.
It doesn't belong to spirituality.
Yeah, it doesn't disturb one another. I go to work, I do this, I do that. This is an inner work that I build inside of me, my world.
And in the point where I start to study wisdom Kabbalah, that's the group. That's where I start.
Only in the group, as Rabash writes in his articles. Without it, you have nowhere to crystallize your attitude towards the Creator. You arrange a place in the group where you can receive from the Creator and you can bestow to the Creator that place. And then later you see that this place is not just a group. It's Tan Sfirot, it's a Partsuf, it's the soul, Neshama.
So the group is that place where there's no time, space, and motion, and the equivalence of form is just a change in form.
Okay, don't add. You only ruin.
It kind of dispairs me personally. He writes to me, while he's working, serving Pharaoh, he can't be the servant of the Creator. So what kind of servants are we? Who are we working for here? What are we doing here?
You are coming here to serve your ego.
My ego?
Of course.
I'm not called the Creator's servant?
If your Shem, your name is the ego, then you work for him.
So tell me, what's this study of Tan Sfirot that we're sitting here and reading? What's the point? We're drawing the reforming light. We're trying. That's not called the Creator's servant. I'm drawing the light. What does it mean? We're trying together.
Are you okay in the head when you say you draw the light?
Why? We're sitting here, we're doing workshops, conventions, whatever you want. Really, the whole world, we're going around like this. In the end, you're telling me, oh, and Rabash is telling me, you're not even the servants of the Creator. You're Pharaoh's servants. Well, how can you define that?
Yeah, you're still in that state, servants of Pharaoh. Because you're not coming out of your ego, and you're doing everything your ego dictates to you. But you could say, nevertheless, there's a difference between what I do and what, let's say, my neighbor outside does. He's doing like everyone, like the whole world, and I'm, nevertheless, I'm listening. Right, you're in serving the Creator, but in a way that's called Lo Lishma. Lo Lishma means not for the sake of the Creator, for his name, but for the sake of Pharaoh, not for the same address.
I remember that you taught us some time ago that specific those who work in Lo Lishma, the Creator loves them the most.
Yes.
Right, it's like the hardest work.
The most difficult.
Can you explain it to me? Because then you said like this, and now you're saying like this. So what's the point here? You know, explain to me, what's the point here?
It's a very nice thing. It says you cannot teach nations of the world Torah, because when a person is in Egypt, inside his will to receive, he is without his choice. That's how he is. He cannot be a Jew, meaning Jew, Yehudi, from the word Ichud, unity. Cannot you be united with the Creator, because he is enslaved to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, his ego. And when he loves Pharaoh, I'm sorry, when he works for Pharaoh, he cannot be the servant of the Creator. Is that clear? Who are you serving? You're serving your ego.
When you're in Egypt, you're doing work that's lo lishma? No.
Of course not, but you're trying. Who goes into Egypt? Sons of Jacob. You understand? 12 tribes. People of Israel. Yosef. Jacob himself comes with them later. It's the beginning of the middle line. People who are going through these states are starting to build their spiritual vessel. Look at when it's starting. It's starting from Abraham. It comes out of Nimrod, let's say, the evil inclination. And look how it's built slowly over time. So don't look down at this. Egypt, lo lishma, servants of Pharaoh. To serve Pharaoh is not people on the street. People on the street are like animals, like beasts. They have neither this nor that. You sometimes feel that you do everything in order to receive. That's it. I do it to myself. So sometimes you, at the very least, have such discernments.
So those who engage and work in Egypt, they also still don't have the thing of, it's not called the Creator's workers?
It's called the work of the Creator.
Whatever, yeah, so...
You're not working the Creator, you're not working for Him, but you are doing these kind of works, jobs. You lack the intention. But check yourself compared to people who think they work for the Creator.
That's another joke.
That's a difference, that you feel that you're in Egypt and they don't. That's a big difference. Meaning, you're working for the Creator, you're working in Egypt, and you know, and you're trying, and you want it, and the sons of Israel sighed from the work, and there, well, it's nothing. No, it's not the sons of Israel, it's not Yeshar Kel. Quickly, we have another article.
What is an innovation?
An innovation? The exit from Egypt. They unite, they reach Arvut, they receive the reforming light called Torah, and from that moment on, they become a free nation. They disconnect from the Pharaoh. That's a process. All those things are a process. From the 10 plagues to the 10 commandments. This entire process is called the Exodus from Egypt.
Could you say that the innovation is the desire to bestow?
Yes, the beginning of it.
Meaning the innovation is not the existence from absence, which is the opposite of existence from existence.
No, existence out of absence is in and so. It's not here. Here, the innovation is when a person receives restriction, screen, reflected light, tzimtzum, masach, or chozer, when he begins to use the power of Torah.
I'll tell you what I ask, because Bala Sulam uses in other articles the word innovation to the contrary.
We have to say it's possible. The word innovation doesn't obligate anything. Peter.
Rav, I would like to feel with what force, with what desire you need to run away from Egypt. And an example, if someone would pounce on me in the street and want to kill me, I'd really run away from him. And the question is, Are we with the same desire, with the same force? Do we need to run exit Egypt with Pharaoh that way?
Escaping from Egypt is very simple. I want to connect with the Ten, and I feel that my ego is not letting me. And then I'm yelling, and I'm crying out, and I'm praying, and I feel it as darkness, that I cannot connect. And then I come to a state where the Creator helps me escape. Truly, He walks before me during the day and during the night, either as a column of smoke or a column of fire. In this, what I come out of my inability to connect, because I understood that to perform an action of bestow in order to bestow, can be only when I bestow to the friends, to the other, from love of the created beings to love of the Creator. This is the exodus from Egypt. Now you can check how close or how far are we. And we go to
Article 982, the matter of the head of the month. This month, meaning Nisan, is the head of the month. And the matter of month, Chodesh, is a matter of innovation. And the matter of Rosh, head, is beginning. And the first beginning is in this, where the Creator took us out of Egypt. And this thing is above nature. And man cannot go but by nature. And only the Creator can do deeds that are not in the way of nature. And since man was created with the nature to have a desire to receive but for himself, hence he is not capable of doing deeds on the path of bestowal. And since this is all that is demanded of a person in this world, for all his intention to be just to bestow, hence, when a person begins in the work, he sees that it's not something he can do. But a man is demanded to be helped, to go in the ways of bestowal. But a person needs to believe that the Creator hears the prayer of every mouth. Hence, man is obligated to believe that the Creator took us out of the land of Egypt, meaning from the desire to receive for oneself. And to the extent in which he has faith in this, to that same extent he can ask from the Creator for him too to receive the gift of being taken out of the land of Egypt. And only then, meaning when he prays from the walls of his heart, then the Creator takes him out of the land of Egypt. Hence, this is the head of the month. Since prior to exiting Egypt, we cannot merit any innovation of Torah.
Somewhat similar to the previous article. Run.
What's the meaning that the Creator hears the prayer of every mouth?
If a person prays from the heart, it means that he opens his mouth and the Creator hears his prayer, meaning a desire. There's no mouth here and there's no man here, only desire. Spirituality is the desire and the light that establishes the desire and fills it. The desire that opens up thanks to the influence of the light, that's the meaning that he opens his mouth.
So every desire, what does it mean? It's being accepted by the Creator, every desire?
Yeah, a reaction. Of course, the desire responds, the light reacts to the desire. There is a reciprocal relationship between them. Desire to the light and the desire.
And the response defines the right development or wrong development?
Of course, because the created being, the desire that can react is called a created being, a creature. And according to his request, his deficiency, accordingly, it influences the light. And the light influences it. In this reciprocal way, they begin these cycles until the end of correction.
Thank you.
Ken.
We usually say when we read faith that we need to believe, then we say that faith is bina, bistol, right?
Yes.
So what does it mean when he says here that a person needs to believe, that the Creator hears his faith, he's obligated to believe?
There's belief in our sages, which is what they wrote, and we have to do, which is not a spiritual faith, but a corporeal faith, because we're still in corporeality. And then if I'm reading, we have gathered here to establish a society, I need to believe the author that he is writing correctly. He's writing it from his spiritual degree, and he advises me to do something good, and it's worthwhile for me to do it. This is called a popular faith, faith of this world. And it has to exist in a person, otherwise he will not do anything. I will not come to the group, I will not listen to things with them together, and so on and so forth. Spiritual faith, not corporeal faith, is when I acquire the force of bestowal. This faith is already different. It's faith above the will to receive. That in spite of the will to receive that wants to receive, I can bestow. So, as usual, like in all of our vocabulary, we have the language of branches, we have the language of roots, and the language of branches, seemingly, right? We use the words of this world. If we are in this world entirely, we use words of this world. And also if we're in the upper world. So decide what is the concept of faith and when do you use it.
So in the words of this world, does a person have any influence on the process, or is it all some kind of miracle that happens from above, coming out of self-love, coming out of this?
You're asking something else. A person in this world, a beast as we call him, is he activated, when he's activated instinctively, is he also doing anything? He's not doing anything, rather the upper light activates him. And it's enough for, when a person goes through enough suffering and problems, he has a reaction to it because of the suffering, and he advances through that as well. Let's say there's this compensation, or there's this certain value to the sufferings that people undergo. Although it's a very low degree, and advancement through it can last thousands of years, and very slowly, very minimal. But nevertheless, yes, every instance of this world, even on the lowest degrees, as he says, like he says, that tiny lice that squeaks, it also looks for something to enliven her soul, if you can say it. She also performs certain action, or rather the upper light performs actions on it. The will to receive, the will to receive must go through many states, lots of suffering, until it is crystallized, like with us, in a higher degree, when we can work with it. How many lice do you need in order to start working?
But can a person go out, meaning a person like us, one who's here and studying and so on, does he have some chance to come out of self-love? Is there any chance?
Everyone has. I don't know who you're looking at. The person is flesh or his desire? His desire will surely continue to reincarnate until everyone will know me from the littlest to the greatest.
But why would you want to go out of self-love, actually?
Evolution. It's not a question. That's not a question. It's the evolution. He who adds knowledge adds pain, of course. But this is still the process of development. How many times in your life you lamented the fact that they made you aware of Kabbalah, of the upper force. You had a nice life down there in Eilat, the beach, the sea. You were missing nothing. Look where you are now. Is this progress? What? No. That's it. Why are they giving this to you? So you would advance, truly.
What's the difference relative to dissemination, I'm asking, for a person to explain this matter of the Exodus of Egypt? What do we need to bring down from what we learn so that a person will feel that really he has here the ability to make this step?
That's a problem. According to what I understand, the era of concealment is over. It was over during the times of the Ari. And that's why they're writing everything. Ari wrote from the side of the wisdom of Kabbalah, and Baal Shem Tov revealed it from the side of the work of the Creator. And after the Ari and Baal Shem Tov, Baal Sulam and Rabash, all those great ones, we have nothing to hide. Only as usual. Gradually, nevertheless, discover what is man's obligation in this world, because if we don't realize it, we'll suffer even more.
You always say that until about 100 years ago, if a person was told, let's go attain the Creator, he would leave everything and simply...
That's what he would tell me. He even met a few of the remnants of the Kotz group, you know, that same branch of Rabbi Mendel of Kotzk.
And today, to tell a person, even like just we're about to write something and to disseminate it, just to convince a person to read it, it's like there's a lot of work here.
We need to try. As much as we succeed, what can you do? But we need to try with everything we've got, because by that you're disseminating the name of the Creator throughout the world.
My question is, by us doing this again and again and again, whether there's a change by this, just by us doing that again, in an automatical, mechanical thing, can we cause a change in a person that can really make him understand that
everything changes each and every moment, and that's why we have to do it every moment, even 1,000 times, as if it's the same. Nothing to do about it. Like the same day you're eating. Why are you eating every day? Every day, every day. That's how it is. These things should be... There are many actions in our work that seem useless, irrational. Why? What for? How many times you studied it and you went over it again and again? It's about inviting the reforming light. That's it. Inviting the reforming light. I'm looking for myself. These ways to come out. These recordings in the studio. What else do I have to say? More Twitter, more tweets. But what can you do? If there's an opportunity, I'm breaking into it.
You write also, if someone doesn't read it and there's no need in it,
there's no difference whether they read it or not. Rabash, many times when I sat with him in private, he said things that I didn't understand at all. And what was the answer that I got when I asked? Rabbi said, I wanted to say it to the world. What do you mean the world? To the air. And there's someone that hears. Whether he understands or not, not important. There's revelation in it.
And for the sentence, let's say we write a tweet in the end of the lesson and we disseminate it in the networks. Is there any benefit even if no one reads it?
Great one. Well, you have to do it nicely and correctly, and not just go out there in a way that they won't misunderstand it, and not to trip people and fail them. You have to do it with love. It's a great thing.
Even if no one reads it.
Also, the norm, but it's worthwhile that people will read it, and the more the better, because we are at the times of the general correction today.
So I want to understand, when you're doing an action, are you searching for some reward that you're hoping that you will get from the action? Do you follow some result?
How many, many degrees or forms of reward?
Which are,
first of all, I'm dealing with it. I'm thinking. I don't imagine myself what will I do? I'll retire? I seize something. Let's say the Zohar. That's it. Let's do Zohar. Good. Oh, what a bright idea. They gave it to me from heaven. And that's it, from beginning to end. That's an example. No, Twitter. You can arrange in a few short sentences. How many words? 280 words, okay. Characters. 280 characters. You can throw an idea. And this idea can... It obligates you to concentrate and to extract the essence of it and to understand it, meaning in what way you can present it. It's very important. Let's say with Psalms. 2-3 days, I went over this 150 chapters. Why? Because there's an opportunity, so let's do it. I'm looking for such things all the time. Twitter is really good because I think we can learn a lot from it. I'm not following the translations, but wherever I write, I consider every word and every comma.
So to just understand, as far as the approach, it's clear, but do you have some need in the results when you're doing those things?
No. When I write, I imagine a certain image of the reader, the person I address. But more than that, I'm not interested. How many people are reading it? It's interesting for me to write about it in this way or another way, or but this topic or another, but not more than that. I'm not seeking publicity. If I do what I can, all the rest is upper force. What can I do? You have other advices? I'll be happy to hear about it. Aside from this, these tweets, please give me more ideas. Okay. What about summary?
The daily task. The daily task from the Minsk group. The daily task from Moldova. Each of us throughout the day tries to see the assistance of the Creator and to rise above the disturbances in order to exit Egypt. And in the evening, we talk about it with the Ten. Each of us throughout the day tries to see the assistance of the Creator in rising above the disturbances in order to exit Egypt. And in the evening, we talk about this with the Ten. Announcements. You're invited to watch this evening at 6 o'clock. Remember, you can post your post itself. We'll repeat our daily task. Each of us throughout the day tries to see the assistance of the Creator in rising above the disturbances in order to exit Egypt. And in the evening, we talk about this with the Ten. Song.
Let your heart speak. Let your heart listen. Shoulder to shoulder. You won't be alone.
Love is around. The deepest ocean. Together we're drawn in. I won't let go. It feels so good to be a part of you.
This is what their life should be. Learning to unite, living in the light. We'll win this fight and everything's gonna be.
Together, together as one.